Have you got your passport? Have you got your passport? That's what you get asked when you arrive in another country. When we went to Fiji recently, we got to the lady at immigration and she says, "Have you got your passport?" Now, apart from a boarding pass, it's actually the one thing that allows you to leave Australia. You can forget your bags, your camera, your toiletries. They won't even check if you have enough money. As long as you've got a passport, you can leave the country. Now, the reason why your passport is so important is because it's the one document that is accepted around the world as evidence for who you are. It tells everybody your identity. It tells them where you were born, when you were born. It shows them a picture of who you are. You might not like it, but that's who you are. And I'm sure there are many other little hidden things in that electronic tag. Identity is important. If you arrive in a country without a passport, they can't tell who you are. You might be able to tell them who you are, but you have nothing to prove who you are. I was recently asked to join a committee on the Presbyterian Church. And as part of that committee, I need to get a police check. Now, this week I tried to get that check. I was in my office and I was going through the process and it asked for a driver's license. So I scanned that. I had that. Then it asked for a Medicare card. I had that on me, so I scanned that as well. And then it asked for my passport. And I thought, well, that's at home. So I thought I'd try something different. I looked down the list and every single piece of evidence that they required was sitting at home. They want to check who I am. I'm telling them that I'm John Waldhouse, but they need to confirm my identity so that they can tell if I have a criminal record. Without confirmation on who I am, they may not be able to tell whether or not I have a criminal record. See, identity is crucial for criminal records. Identity is crucial for international travel, for working with children, for knowing who our family is. There are many reasons why identity is important. Now, as I mentioned last week, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the Gospel of Luke. We heard last week that Luke's a book that confirms to us lots of things about Jesus. We saw that Luke told us in chapter 1, verse 3, that he has given these things to give us certainty. Now, we're looking at chapter 2. It's a big chapter. Graham did a good job of reading that for us. And it gives us some of the only details we have of Jesus as a young boy. And this chapter gives us certainty surrounding the identity of Jesus. It's like we get to see his passport, isn't it? We get to see who he really is. Now, Luke wants us to be certain of who Jesus is. And what we'll see in this chapter is four different people confirming the identity of Jesus. And we see the answer to the question, well, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, at this point, it'd be very helpful for you to have a Bible open in front of you. I'll keep pointing you back to the Bible. We're going to fly through chapter 2. And inside your bulletins, you'll also find an outline that you can follow along with as well. There's some points there to help you see where we're going. And then we're going to see what the angel said about Jesus, what Simeon and Anna have said, and we're also going to hear from Jesus himself as he tells us who he is. Now, the first piece of evidence we have for the identity of Jesus comes from an angel. Now, of course, as we look at this passage, we're reminded of Christmas. Even my kids are asking, are we back at Christmas again, Dad? It certainly sounded like it, didn't it? But in verses 1 to 7, we're given the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, and then we come to the angels. And in verse 8, there are shepherds in the field. Verse 9, there's an angel. An angel appears to the shepherds. But listen to what the angel says to the shepherds in verses 10 to 12. The angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now look closely at verse 11. It says there, "A Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Who is Jesus? Who does the angel tell them who Jesus is? Well, three titles he uses here: Saviour, Christ, and Lord. So look first at Saviour. Jesus is the one who saves. Now, this is a prediction of what Jesus' life will achieve. We see the title Saviour completed in Jesus' work on the cross. But here, the angel makes this very personal, doesn't he? Look at the for you, or the to you. A Saviour has been born to you. For you. The problem for all humanity is that we've rebelled against God. We've all sinned. We all fall short. No one is good enough. And as a result, we are all called enemies of God. And the angel says, a Saviour has been born to you. Every one of us needs the salvation that only Jesus can give. He gave his life to reconcile you back to God. Jesus the Saviour, Jesus the Reconciler. As we go along in Luke's Gospel, we'll see clearer and clearer that Jesus is the Saviour born for you. We see two other titles there, Christ and Lord, and the title Christ comes from the word Messiah, and it's used alongside the word Lord, which means King. And the two words are used together so that we get this amazing picture of the Messiah who is the Lord, or Jesus who is the Christ Lord, or the Messiah King. Now, the writers of the New Testament all spoke about Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as the Messiah that the Old Testament authors wrote about. And when the writers of the New Testament, like Luke, wrote about Jesus and used the word Messiah, we're to think that this child carried the full weight of divinity. He is God in flesh. This is what is meant by the term Christ or Messiah, that he is fully divine. All four gospel accounts tell us that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is God in flesh. And here, as we look at it written as the Christ Lord, it should remind us that Jesus came from that kingly line of David. The king that was predicted to reign forever, that's Jesus. He is Lord of all. That's the king that people were waiting for. The identity of Jesus revealed to us through the angel tells us that Jesus is no ordinary kid. Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, and is our Saviour. That's the identity of Jesus. Now, it's an incredible picture to imagine, isn't it? Now, I don't think we necessarily fully grasp what the arrival of the Saviour meant. But as we move through the passage, we're going to see through the eyes of Simeon and Anna, we're going to gain an appreciation of what the arrival of Jesus meant to so many. And as you look at this next section, we see that Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple to fulfill what the law required. And when they arrived, they were met by Simeon. Now, we're told in verse 26 that he would see the Messiah or the Christ before he died. He's moved by the Spirit to go into the temple that day. And when the parents arrive, he takes Jesus and says this about Jesus in verse 29 to 32. He says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Who does Simeon say Jesus is? He says that Jesus is salvation. Salvation prepared in the sight of all people. Salvation as a light for the Gentiles. Simeon tells us that the identity of Jesus is salvation. Salvation for all people. Not just for Israel, but all people. Gentiles included. And I want you to note that Simeon here is moved by the Holy Spirit to speak these things about God's only Son. He's prophesying. He's speaking as he's moved by the Spirit. And his words are confirming for us the true identity of Jesus, the one who would bring salvation. After Mary and Joseph marvel over what is said about their son, Simeon speaks again in verse 34. It says there, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" Now, even though Jesus will bring salvation, his salvation will be received with division. Israel will be divided. Some will rise, others will fall, hearts will be revealed. And we see all of this in the life of Jesus, don't we? People try and kill him. People try and make him look like a fool. They ask him questions that are really hard to answer. Others fall before him and love him. We see the hearts of many revealed. And for some of them, it causes them to love him. And for others, it causes them to hate him. And of course, as Mary watched her own son die on the cross, her soul would have been pierced. No mother wants to see their own child die, even if it is to save the world. But this is Jesus. This is the one who brings salvation. This is the true identity of Jesus. Now, Mary and Joseph are still in the temple, and the prophetess Anna is also there. Now, this is our third point. We're given a rare glimpse into the life of a very special woman. We see this in verses 36 to 37. She was married for 7 years. Her husband died and she's been a widow for 84 years, or until she's 84 years. It's a little bit hard to tell. Well, every version says something different there. For a very long time, let's just say that. She's never left the temple, but she's worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Anna, we're to understand, is a woman of God. Her age would have told the New Testament community that this testimony is valid. You should sit up and listen. She was given insight into who this child would become. So what does she say about the identity of Jesus? We'll look at verse 38. "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel." Anna tells those who will listen that Jesus is the Redeemer of Israel. He's the one who will rescue them from their current dilemma. Now, reading the Old Testament brings with it the idea that there is a Redeemer who will come. He will save Israel. He will redeem them. And from the title we see here, it's clear that Anna knew that Jesus would be the one to bring this redemption. The angel said he was Jesus the Saviour, the one who will come and take away the sins of the world. Again, it's in line with what we've already heard. Jesus as Saviour, Lord, Christ, Messiah, the one to save Israel, the one who will bring salvation to the Gentiles. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the great Redeemer. Now, so at this point, we're heading to our last witness, and this time it's Jesus himself. And as you look at this chapter, it starts with Jesus as a baby, and now we turn to Jesus as the 12-year-old. Joseph and Mary have come to Jerusalem for the Passover. Mary and Joseph prepared to leave, and we hear that Jesus stayed around and they didn't find him for a few days. We see in verse 46 that they find him, and it says there, "After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions." Jesus, the 12-year-old, is sitting there asking questions. And what is the response of those who heard him? We see it in verse 47. "Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers." Now, even though the people in the temple are amazed at Jesus and his questions and answers, what we see is Mary's distress. Mary asks why he's treated them like this. Why did you disappear? Why didn't you tell us where you were? It even tells us that they were anxious about the boy who couldn't be found in verse 48. And then we get a response from Jesus in verse 49. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" verse 50 tells us that they didn't understand. Luke has the advantage of hindsight. He's writing this after Jesus had ascended. He's got the facts, and maybe he's even heard from Mary that they really didn't understand what Jesus meant when he said this. But I imagine that Luke and many others heard this, and they too would have said, of course, Jesus was in his Father's house. He was with those who knew about his Father. But the declaration that we want to see here from Jesus is that Jesus reveals himself as the Son of God. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? We heard this last week. The angel said Jesus was the Son of God. We heard from the angels that Jesus is the Son of God, but now we get Jesus himself who tells us the same thing. What is the identity of Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. He's born of Mary, and we understand that this is how all humans are born. But as we saw last week, it was under the superintending power of God. And what we're to understand from the 12-year-old Jesus is that he is both God and man. Now, as we go on in Luke's gospel, we'll hear again and again about the tired, worn out, hungry Jesus in pain and experiencing life as we know it. And we see his humanity. And it's easy to imagine his humanity, and we often miss that he's human as we read about Jesus. But we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is the Son of God, don't we? Jesus who spat on the ground, made mud, and healed the blind man's eyes. He'll go into Simon's house and heal Simon's mother-in-law from a fever. And he'll speak to the demon-possessed and send demons out. We'll see the divinity of Jesus, his God nature. So we know from reading the New Testament that this truth is of utmost importance. Jesus, God's one and only Son, who came into the world to rescue people from their sin. Jesus speaks of his identity and tells us who he is, that he is the Son of God. See, identity is important. Knowing the identity of Jesus is of utmost importance. And being certain of who Jesus is means that you and I can trust him. See, Luke's goal is to give us certainty about Jesus. And in this case, it's about being certain as to who Jesus is. See, knowing someone changes everything, doesn't it? When Mary Donaldson went out for drinks at the Slip Inn during the Sydney Olympics, she met a guy called Fred at the bar. She had no idea that he was a Danish royal. She found out later, but knowing his true identity would have changed everything. And knowing the true identity of Jesus is something that should change everything for us. It means that we can give our lives over to Jesus and trust him. See, wholehearted commitment to Jesus comes from truly knowing who Jesus is. And what we've seen today is the revealing of Jesus' true identity. So how do we respond to knowing who Jesus is? Well, I've got three things in this passage, and they're responses that each one of us should think about. The first is to know the true identity of Jesus. We've looked at what Luke has written here about Jesus. We've heard from four different people about who he is. Mary heard all that the shepherds said, and she treasured all these things in her heart. And I think that's something we can do too. Treasure knowing who Jesus is. Take joy in knowing that Jesus is God's Son, sent to earth to save you from your sin. This is who Jesus is. And we're shown that we can treasure this news. Not just hear it, but receive it and know it and treasure it and live for him. Now, some of you may not know and trust Jesus. Maybe you're doubtful about Jesus. Maybe you're just not convinced about who Jesus is. Well, if this is you, then I want to encourage you to investigate. Luke has already done this. He's investigated everything thoroughly from the beginning. We've got a book full of reasons why we should believe the true identity of Jesus. And now maybe it's time to pray and ask that Jesus will help you to know the truth about Jesus. So my encouragement, if you haven't already put your trust in Jesus, is to read this chapter again. Pray that God will help you understand and know Jesus. Knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour means that you'll submit to him with your whole life. See, half-hearted commitment comes from not really knowing who Jesus is. So we need to get to know who Jesus is. Submit to him and make him Lord of your life. That's the first thing to do, know Jesus. The second thing is to tell people about Jesus. If you look at verses 17 and 18, what did the shepherds do when they heard about the baby who was to be born? Or when they had seen him, it says in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. When they heard and saw Jesus with their own eyes, they couldn't contain themselves. See, knowing the true identity of Jesus means we will share his identity with those around us. Knowing Jesus' true identity shouldn't be kept to yourself. It's for everyone to know. We meet as a church to remind ourselves who Jesus is. We don't meet to catch up and hear the latest goss and catch up on the news that we're all looking forward to hearing about our lives. No, we gather because we want to know who Jesus is. And because we know and understand the true identity of Jesus, of course then we want to share that with those around us. We see here with the shepherds. We see this with the shepherds. We see it with Anna as well. The moment she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Anna knew the true identity of Jesus and shared with all who were listening. Are you sharing Jesus with those around you? I don't think it's the easiest thing to do. But knowing the true identity of Jesus gives us the push we need to share about the King of Kings. Share with those what you know about Jesus. So my encouragement to you is that if you feel like you're unable to share about Jesus, well then get to know Jesus more. Again, a half-hearted commitment comes from not knowing Jesus. So get to know him and give yourself fully to him. So know Jesus. Tell those around you about Jesus. And now for our third and final takeaway for today. Praise and glorify Jesus, the one sent from God. As people who trust in the Lord Jesus, we know who he is. We know what he's done. So praise his name. Simeon did this when he took Jesus in his arms. He praised God. He was ready to die, wasn't he? I've seen your salvation, now take me away. It's the first thing that Anna did after encountering Jesus in the temple. She thanked God. And the grammar there says that she never stopped. She just kept on thanking God. This is the right response to knowing Jesus. Have you given thanks to God for knowing Jesus? Are you praising and glorifying Jesus, our Saviour? See, knowing Jesus changes everything, doesn't it? Do you know Jesus? Are you speaking about him and are you praising his name? Well, let's pray. And Father God, we give thanks to you today, for you are our great God. We thank you for revealing to us the true identity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, Christ and Lord, your Son, our Redeemer. What an amazing God you are. We praise your name. We ask that you help us to know your Son more and more. Put it on our hearts to share about your love for all people. And Lord, we ask that you help us to praise your name with our whole lives. Lord, give us hearts, wholehearted hearts, willing to serve you and trust you always. And we pray this in the strong name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.